is not affordable housing. This is keeping people alive. You know, everybody wants to float around numbers and this and that. You know, who cares if someone loses $10,000 if someone else loses their child? You know, how long until the redwoods burn? I mean, it barely hopped over them this time. This world is really changing. And some people can sit in kind of a gilded cage and say, no, it's not. No, it's not. Well, I'm here to say it is. When forest fires get right to your house, a light turns on. When your county runs out of water, and they keep, it goes from your toilet to the water treatment, to your faucet, to your toilet, to the water treatment, to the faucet. You change. You become human again. And I guess, be human.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Commissioner.
Question for Mary Kyle McCurdy. So there's one mobile home park that's being left out of this. Mm-hmm. That's the Fox Run. And apparently it's in prime industrial land, meaning that if we were to extend this protection or the incentives in this proposal to that property, we could be sued for taking prime industrial land without finding replacement land. So two questions. Is that something Thousand Friends of Oregon would likely appeal if we made that decision? And secondly, who else would likely appeal that decision, or who would likely appeal that decision?
Commissioner Saltzman, I cannot answer the second question. I don't know who might. On the first one, I am not familiar with the details of this particular site. Its size, where it's located, is there something unique about it, like a rail access line? Or is it simply a piece of land zoned industrial that's fairly fungible?
I'm not an expert. I think it's the latter.
That's
I don't think it has
what
real
you're
access.
Finding?
It's a fairly nice mobile home park village, but it is in an industrial land. Yeah.
So I believe that your staff said, although I certainly don't want to speak for them, that it's not you could do it, but you'd have to make findings about it and relate them to the requirements to provide sufficient industrial land. So I'll speak more generically and not to that piece of land in particular. If a city has an obligation to provide up to a 20-year land supply for all urban uses, and if you were to convert industrial land that brings you beneath the amount of land for the planning period, you would have to make that up in some way. If I heard it correctly, this won't bring you beneath, but it'll bring you close if you were to apply this to that piece of land. However, I believe it's on Metro's regionally significant industrial land map. I was hearing it, more of the details of it today as I came in. So there may be some other steps you have to go through with Metro and with LCDC, but it's something that you could do. We are not contemplating appealing that or suing the city on that. Whether anyone else would, I don't know. I don't know who owns the land or anything about it. So,
okay. Thank you.
Just in general, can the city change an industrially zoned land without any findings in the ordinance?
I think you'd have. I'm going to defer to your city attorney, but I think you'd have to make findings. Yes. Yeah. There's some specific state statutes and administrative rules related to industrial land conversion and the need to make findings. And is this regionally significant industrial land? There's probably a higher standard. But, you know, findings are, you make those every day, don't you?
Can I just ask another question? It's not related really to the legislative matter before us, but over the last few years, I've increasingly seen a divergence, almost a disconnect between industrial land and job creation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing applications for use of industrial land that don't promote a job creation agenda. Mm-hmm. And that includes storage units or facilities that operate autonomously and independently. Mm-hmm. Is it at some point in the future, is it time for us to take another look at Goal 9 and update it?
Commissioner Fish, yes, and it's past time. There is something about the economic activity generated by land, the employment that's generated by land.
It just seems like some of our assumptions are wildly out of date.
And a few years ago, Metro did a study looking at large industrial employers and large lot industrial users, and those are not the same. As you mentioned, a warehouse uses a lot of land. It might not have a lot of employees in it. A hospital, which sometimes is on industrial land, employs a lot of people. They're not all the same, and we should be looking at them more in a more sophisticated manner. Of course, a lot of industrial goes on in buildings that look like office buildings, and they're downtown.
Yeah.
We definitely need to.
And let me be clear, this is separate and apart from the matter that's before us today, but we've seen this time and time again come forward, and it does seem like we need to update our thinking about the jobs nexus.
I agree, having seen a great growth in storage units also in some pretty good locations for some other uses.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, all three of you. I understand we have one more. Is that right, Carla?
Correct.
Very good.
Cameron Harrington.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. Here to thank you for the efforts of your offices, your staffs, and specifically the staff at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to get us to this point today. I think in addition to the content of this policy being an excellent example of equity in action, the process of developing this proposal is an example that other bureaus should learn about and follow. The Bureau staff, led by Joe Zender, Tom Armstrong, Leslie Lum, proactively worked with community members, with mobile home park residents, hired temporary staff to canvass mobile home parks around the city to make sure they understood the content and implications of this proposal. And it was that work that made this this process, which would otherwise be very complicated and confusing for anyone. People understood what the implications were for them and for their housing. And so I'd like to commend the Bureau and as well as the staff of your offices for their work behind the scenes to get this onto the agenda and get this to the vote today. I'd also like to again point out that this really is an example of the city prioritizing equity and prioritizing the interests of those people who would otherwise have the fewest options. As we've heard today, most people who live in manufactured housing parks don't have as many options as you and I do in terms of where we can live. And it is incumbent upon the city to take this action today to prioritize, to proactively protect those homes and those communities. And the roots of today's actions, I think we can trace back to the equity commitments made in the Portland plan, and then those were made more concrete in the comprehensive plan, as Commissioner Fritz referred to, and today to actually implement those commitments in a very concrete way, I believe is a strong precedent that we can apply to other kinds of policy in the housing realm and in other forms of policy. I also want to highlight that none of this would have happened if it weren't for the organized efforts of manufactured housing residents across the city coming together, meeting with you and your staff, meeting with the Bureau, door knocking in parks across town from the ones where they themselves live in order to get the word out about this policy. And many of those folks are here in the room today, but hundreds of others were not able to come down to City Hall during the afternoon. But they have all signed a huge banner that we have downstairs that says, "We love our mobile homes." And after the conclusion of this hearing, we'll be gathering downstairs to take a group photo, and we'd like to invite you and members of your staff to join us for that photo.
Very good. And that was good testimony, and I want to make sure you get credit for it. Could you state your name for the record?
Oh, yes. Cameron. I'm sorry. Cameron Harrington with Living Cully.
Thank you. And for those of you who made the sign, I apologize. I know there was an interest in bringing it into the chamber. We have some rules on the side of banners, but I'll be delighted to see it downstairs.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing it. Very good. So that concludes our public testimony. Colleagues, do we want to bring staff up for further questions? Please come back up, if you don't mind, Tom. Commissioner Saltzman.
Okay, so, you know, Mayor, I support this proposal, but I am not prepared to support this proposal today unless we have a clear path to provide the same protections and incentives for mobile home park owners in this package to the owners of the Fox Run and the residents of the Fox Run. It's not equitable to leave everybody, to include everybody but one mobile home park for sort of academic, paper-pushing, planning-type speak, which the residents, if they find out that the property gets sold out from underneath them, will never understand. And I would never be able to explain it to them. So I, in order for me to support this package today, I need a clear path that culminates in a time certain before this body that will consider the Fox Run providing the same incentives to the owners of Fox Run and protections to its residents. So help us get there.
The option that I would suggest that we do is that you pass the ordinance as amended today, and that what we would do is bring forward a separate ordinance for a map change for Fox Run itself. That would have to go as a legislative project through the Planning and Sustainability Commission, which would require one of the problems, in addition to the findings and amending the findings today or tomorrow to include it in this package, is that
he's
the owners...
He's not proposing that, Tom.
I know. I'm just...
You don't even have to hypothesize.
So,
he's just asking for the path forward.
So the path forward would be to send it to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. We'll send out the required 35-day notice. We will find a time in September or October for the Planning and Sustainability Commission to make a recommendation, and we will bring it back to you later this fall, as soon as we can get it through the PSC and back here with just the Fox Run and just the map change for that.
And if it, refresh my memory, if it doesn't pass the PSC, it could still come to us for consideration or not?
If the council directs BPS to bring it to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, then it will come back to council.
Do we need to do that today?
Do they need amend the ordinance with that direction?
Yes, we can amend the ordinance to include a directive. Yeah, let me draft something.
Okay.
Yeah. My
suggestion, by late fall, we could have this in front of us, this question. Okay.
You know, my suggestion is we not amend the ordinance and keep this clean as has been proposed.
I
think if there's a commitment made to Commissioner Saltzman that it will come back to council, I'm confident it will come back to council. And his office between now and January 1st will be highly motivated to see that it comes back to council.
Yeah.
And Dan, I would urge you to go that route rather than amending this today. We've been given, I think, clear sense of keeping this as unencumbered as possible.
Yes, and I would say, given the level of support that we saw at the PSC, I would not have concerns about it not getting out of PSC and back here in an expedited manner.
In a timely manner.
Yeah, in a timely manner.
Timely manner means October.
You can't do that fast.
Get it to PSC in October. We still have a 35-day notice that we have to send out before the PSC can hear it.
Commissioner Saltzman ends his term sometime.
Yeah, I'm running on a fixed clock.
Right.
Can you give us some sense that it would come back to council while he's still a member of the body?
We will make our best effort to get it through the end of the year. I can't promise, given council's agendas at the end of the year and the way they get congested, but we will make our best effort to get back here.
Or we'll have to go to Dan's house. Good. Does that verbal commitment satisfy your requirements, Commissioner?
Not really, but I mean, I appreciate the efforts, but I also see, you know, the clock easily running out on this, and me being in no position to influence it to get it before this body while I'm still here. And
Mayor, not to say this up, body.
Yeah. I just don't have a lot of comfort that this is going to get back to us in a timely manner. And I think it's important. I mean, I'm not talking about myself so much. I'm talking about people who live in Fox Run and the owners of Fox Run.
I think it's a principled stand, and I will make every effort as mayor to make sure that this comes back to the council prior to your departure, that you will have a chance to see it through.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz, yes, you bet.
I agree. It's a principal stand, and there's 56 of these properties. 55 of them desperately need this advancement today to provide some incentives to the owners to keep the current uses. I just want to remind you about 3rd and Harrison, a third of an acre that we could not rezone from industrial because of appeals by the industrial property owners. So rezoning industrial and also Harbour of Hope at Terminal 1. Rezoning industrial land is really difficult and should be considered in the context of the whole community and the economic needs of the city. This is prime industrial land, as has been said. It's in the Harbour District and the Airport Way District. I don't know whether I will support adding this when it comes back, and I don't know if the Planning Commission will either. I think what we're all committing to is that the Planning Commission will send us a recommendation, whether it's yes or no, and then we'll have a council discussion and a decision, yes or no.
Absolutely. Nor can we make that finding today.
Correct.
It has to come
Mayor,
back
I wasn't here
process.
Earlier, and I apologize
Fish.
At the beginning of the hearing. Have we adopted the amendments?
They're on the table.
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate the discussion. Appreciate Commissioner Fritz reminding us how difficult this is, but I think we owe those residents a shot at taking it.
Yep. Hear, hear. Good. Any further questions of staff? We'll call the roll on the technical amendments 1 through 6. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendments are adopted. The main motion is amended. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
This is on the final package?
This is the final
option
of
the ordinance.
Well, thanks, everybody, for your advocacy and the Bureau of Planning Sustainability and the Planning Sustainability Commission and all the residents who worked so hard to get this proposal before us in such a timely manner. This is an important step we need to take, and I'm pleased to support it. And so, as I just said a minute ago, I hope we will provide the same protection and incentives to the residents and owners of the Fox Run development. Aye.
Udaly?
I'd like to thank Cameron Harrington and Living Colley and all the advocates and community members who worked on this issue and everyone who came today to give testimony. Thank you as well to the staff at BPS, to my colleagues who supported and facilitated this work, to my staff, of course. I vote aye.
Fritz.
As Mary Cal McCurdy pointed out, these zoning changes uphold a number of specific anti-displacement policies in the adopted 2035 comprehensive plan. And again, Cameron Harrison pointed out that grew out of the Portland plan. So thank you, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Daly, the whole council, for joining me in championing this effort, which began with the previous city councils. Thank you, Tom Armstrong and Susan Anderson, Joe Zender, all the staff, Shannon Burner over there. A lot of work has gone into getting this done. There was a complaint in my emails that this has been done way too quickly. I think 2 years is pretty darn quick for all the hoops that needs to go through. So thank you very much for making sure that we do go all through those hoops. Lauren King in the City Attorney's Office, thank you. Claire Adamsick and Tim Krell and my staff are particularly meaningful and helpful, and Claire was very much a part of crafting the policy in the first place. Thank you, all the community members who came here today. My notes say you had to juggle work or family obligations to be here. In one case, you had to juggle the family obligation. Having that young man on your shoulders was really wonderful. So thank you. That was my favorite image from today, I think. Thank you to the translator who facilitated many people being able to participate fully and to everybody who arranged for that. And finally, thank you to Pamela Ferguson in Hayden Island, who took me around their manufactured home community there. I may have been one of the few candidates for City Council who has actually canvassed not once but twice in mobile home communities. Ed Guerin was also part of that community. These are wonderful communities, wonderful places to live with a real sense of belonging. And I'm very happy that we've just opened the new park in Cully, built with Verde and Living Cully. That is very close to several of the manufactured home parks on Killingsworth Street. And how wonderful that we're providing parks near to where wonderful communities are. So thank you very much for all of your work. Aye.
Fish?
Commissioner Fritz, I can't believe you mentioned Ed Guerin. In 2008, I think I got the tour following your tour. You know, it's not yet 3:30, and so someone in this room is going to say, we have just handled a big lift around a legislative change, and we're about to conclude final adoption of amendments and speeches in an hour and a half. And what I would like to say in response to that is this thing has been cooked for a long time. It is carefully constructed. It has broad community support, and there is a sense of urgency for us to act today. And that's why this is moving with some speed and dispatch. I want to thank the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for all the work they did. Joe Zender, and congratulations, Joe, on taking on the interim director title. And we wish you best of luck. I want to thank my colleagues for their leadership on this issue. I want to thank the community for coming out and testifying today, especially community members under the age of 10. And I think we had a lot of them here today. And this is democracy in action, so you got to see how we operate, and your presence here was greatly appreciated. We're taking up a proposal today to broaden the incentives for affordable housing. It is one of a number of key initiatives taken up by this council. I am proud of the progress we are making. We have more work to do. Today, I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I'll be brief. Portland, as you heard, has 57 manufactured dwelling parks citywide, providing affordable housing for nearly 3,000 households. And the vote we're taking here today, because I can count the votes, it honors the intent of the comprehensive plan through this action. And it also increases the diversity of affordable housing options that are available in this city. There are so many people to thank, and I know I'm leaving people off of this list, and I hope collectively we have hit most of those who are certainly deserving of our thanks. And first of all, I want to thank my colleagues on the City Council, particularly Commissioners Fritz and Udaly, who brought this forward with us today. I want to thank my staff, in particular Kyle Chizik and Cupid Alexander, who worked tirelessly on this, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff. You guys always impress me, Tom and Joe and the whole team. And I know that the Housing Bureau is well represented here, and they've been active contributors to this process. And at the end of the day, we're ensuring a very important balance and increasing housing options. And all of this, of course, is supported by the findings. And so I think it's a great package. It is supremely important. It is yet one more tool of many that are in the toolbox to ensure that the people who work in this community can afford to live here. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you.
Shawl and what?